The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
With the latest on Donald Trump here, you know, that grand jury apparently is meeting today, but sources tell other sources that they're not going to talk about Donald Trump today, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there?
Well, that's kind of the conversation, isn't it? What the heck is going on here? This is where my brain goes. Did Donald Trump kind of hijack this story over the past weekend,
yeah,
when he announced that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday and just set off a frenzy here?
That's exactly where my head went, is he took control of the narrative and he took the narrative away from them. And I think we said this a few days ago when we were talking about this as well, of, you know, will this help or hurt him was the question we were asking then. And I think I said at the time, in kind of releasing this information and saying, I'm going to be arrested on this day, right? He then took control of the narrative and the element of surprise. The element of surprise from the media. He had his attorney on every single media outlet network that he could over the weekend. Anybody that would take his attorney was on. And they were putting their side of the story out here. They were getting ahead of things so that they didn't have another Mar-a-Lago where this element of surprise came in and then the other side dominated the story and it was hard to get their side in. So that's exactly where my head went, is he took the narrative away from them. And when he did that, now you've got headlines like, you know, that Trump wants to appear in handcuffs. This is what he wants. He wants a picture of him. He wants his mugshot. He wants a handcuffs. I can see it now, can't you? You know, we were saying the Democrats would use this against him. He would use it for him, and he would say, this is what happens when you drain the swamp. Now, you always say that the swamp has creatures in it, and they you know, reach out and grab things,
right? They don't want to be drained.
They don't want to be drained. But I could see him using it to his benefit here. So, you know, I think for him, that might be true. Maybe he does want the perp walk and the mugshot so that he can use it himself to say, this is what Democrats do to you when you try and call them out. They put you in handcuffs.
Well, it's a nice strategy and a kind of a nice backup plan in case it happens to be out in front of it and say, I hope it happens and act like I want these images more than you do. Because the fact of the matter is, I've been watching this story as closely as I can. I don't know that anybody really knows what's going on, right? It's brought up a lot of information about this DA because he has said that his number one priority was going after Trump when he ran for office. So it looks like this guy wants to get Trump. But what's really going on with the grand jury? Does he really have enough information? What would have happened if Trump had said nothing? Would we be in a different place than we are now? We don't really know. So, you know, what happened was Trump made this announcement. Then the grand jury, they canceled yesterday. Then there was a story said they won't meet the rest of the week. Then there's a story, well, they are meeting today, but they're not talking about Trump. So we don't really know what's happening here and what they are doing. But it looks like Trump has kind of gotten their heads, like rent-free, as they say, right? You know, and they're like, he wants to be arrested? Now we can't, if he wants to be arrested, we can't arrest him, right?
Right. We can't give him what he wants.
Yeah. Does he really want it? And was there really going to be an indictment of him? Did they have enough information? The grand jury's got to vote on this. And would they have voted on this? Did they have enough? Because there's a lot of information out here that this is not a strong case. There are other stories where they think Democrats are calling this DA and saying, don't do this. This is the weakest of everything we have. This cannot go first, because if we lose this, you're going to damage the credibility on everything else we have.
You also have this story. You know, Michael Cohen, I guess, is their best evidence on this. But you've also got this letter from Michael Cohen to the FEC where he says that he was never paid back for the money that he paid Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen, to me, is not a reliable source. He is, it seems like he's going whichever way the wind blows, which does not make him very credible. If I'm on the grand jury and I'm getting to indict somebody, and Michael Cohen is my best piece of evidence, I'd say you don't have much.
Well, look at Michael Cohen. We know how this works. This worked in Russian collusion. They arrest people that are somehow involved in the story, and they tell them, if you give me something, we can lower your penalty, right? This is all plea bargaining. Did Michael Cohen, you know, there's this one attorney that testified before the grand jury, said that Michael Cohen was suicidal and told him that he had nothing, but my life is ruined. And so did Michael Cohen finally tell them what they wanted to hear to get himself off the hook? That's not unbelievable. You know, Michael Cohen, I remember when Running Horse was going on here.
Yes.
Michael Cohen was on with Ray all the time.
Yes.
Talking about that was going to be a Trump project. And he's very cocky New York Trump attorney.
Yes.
Now he's totally broken. So I don't really believe anything he says. It's not because I don't like him or anything. I just think when you get in a position like where your life is on the line here, you do what you can for yourself. So is he telling the truth, not telling the truth? I don't think it's a guy you want to rely on to put anybody in jail.
And that's my point. I just don't find him to be a credible or reliable source of information, because as you point out, all these other factors that could be playing into it. And, you know, one minute he'll have one story, the next minute he has another story that are contradictory. And as a witness, you know, if you were doing a trial in a courtroom and you put them on the stand, the jury usually would go and negate somebody like that then. You say one thing one minute and another in the complete opposite the next. That doesn't make you very credible. So if Michael Cohen is really the best piece of evidence that you have, I don't think you have much evidence then.
Yeah. And I think that's, and you know, this might have happened that they came to that conclusion, and maybe this DA realized that he didn't have much, and maybe Trump got wind of the fact that he didn't have much and decided to come out on offense and say, they're going to arrest me Tuesday, so that when it didn't happen, it would look like he backed him down, right?
Yeah.
I scared him.
Right.
And then he said, go out and protest. By the way, it doesn't appear that a lot of people are protesting. And some of the people that are protesting, we're not even sure who they are.
Well, we're told that they're just kind of actors and activists.
Yeah, people that like to take advantage of these situations, because some people are just for turmoil. Anywhere they can cause turmoil and anarchy, that's what they're doing. So we're not even sure who the protesters are. And by the way, you know, when they say they have stronger cases, what are their stronger cases? You know, it's
Georgia?
Like, well, you know, the election, when he called the Secretary of State in Georgia, and he said, this is how I interpret it. And we played that call back then. And he said, we've got all these phony voting things. And he listed all of them. And he said, look, I've got like hundreds of thousands of illegal votes here. And all I need is 11,000. Now, the left took that to mean something entirely different. He's just saying, hey, these are not good ballots. So get me 11,000 of these bad ballots and I win.
Well, here's that audio. And the truth is, and we've said this before, you know, we listen to it, we hear one thing. somebody who hates Trump listens to it and hears something very different. But he begins with, let's go over the numbers.
Over some of the numbers, I think it's pretty clear that we won. We won very substantially, Georgia. You even see it by rally size, frankly. We'd be getting 25, 30,000 people a rally, and the competition would get less than 100 people, and it never made sense. But we have a number of things. We have at least two or three, anywhere from 250 to 300,000 ballots were dropped mysteriously into the rolls. Much of that had to do with Fulton County, which hasn't been checked. We think that if you check the signatures, a real check of the signatures going back in Fulton County, you'll find at least a couple of 100,000 of forged signatures of people with who have been forged.
I just have to pause it because there you go, right? And what he's saying is you get rid of a couple 100,000, I think you're going to find me on top here.
Yeah, I mean, he's just basically saying, this is when Trump was listening to Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, who were telling him all this stuff. Now, if you hate Trump, you think either he bought a bunch of BS or he's lying, right?
Right.
And because really what he's really trying to do is put pressure on the Secretary of State to manufacture 11,000 votes for him. But if you listen to him, I mean, here's my interpretation of Trump. He had people around him telling him all kinds of things. A lot of people were telling him, there's nothing here. Don't listen to Sidney Powell and Rudy. They don't have any evidence. But he did. He liked what they said. It's not hard to believe that he believed what they were telling him. And this is what they were telling him. There are hundreds of thousands of votes down there that are illegal. So that's what he's telling the Secretary of State. We've got hundreds of thousands of illegal votes. I just need 11,000. Now, when the other side hears, I need 11,000, they hear, just go make them up.
Go make them up.
But that's not what he's saying. That's clear.
No, in here.
We are quite sure that's going to happen. Another tremendous number. We're going to have an accurate number over the next 2 days with certified accountants. But an accurate number will be given, but it's in the 50s of thousands. And that's people that went to vote and they were told they can't vote because they've already been voted for.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, he goes down a long list. And
he does.
I don't think we need to play it all. But his whole point is,
leading up to that, he's talking about all of these ballots that he doesn't think should have been counted.
Exactly.
And therefore, I want you to clean it up. And I think when you clean it up, I only need 11,000 votes.
Yeah. Now, this is the case.
I think when you clean it up, I will end up on top.
Yeah. And this is the case they think is stronger. Now, I think, to me, if they play this phone call, I don't know what to think, because when the other side hears a phone call, they don't hear what we hear. But what we hear is he thinks these are all bad ballots. There's hundreds of thousands of these, 50,000 of these, and I just need 11. So it's clear to me that he's saying, look, I got robbed. Go back and get these out of the system. They're not legitimate ballots. He's not saying, go find me 11,000 ballots just out of thin air. Which is what the left hears for some reason. I don't know why they don't hear what we hear. Do you have any theories on that? They hear what we hear?
You know, they did that. Actually, they've done a study on this. And what they found is that people, you know, based upon your teams, you hear what you want to hear. And that's really kind of it.
So is that our problem? We're just hearing what we want to hear?
And it's their problem, too. Because they're hearing what they want to hear. We're hearing what we hear. They don't want to hear what we hear.
I don't want to hear this. I just hear it. You know, I just hear what he's saying. He goes, these are all bad ballots. Now, you may think that's all BS, and you may think he doesn't believe it, but how do you prove that? How do you prove he doesn't believe what he's being told?
You can also believe that, you know, he's wrong, and but yet still hear what we hear. That he's wrong on all of this, but really that his intention, I think that he believed that if they cleaned things up, in the end, he would win. And he felt like there was fraud going on. Now, you know, debating whether or not there was fraud, that's a whole other different show. But at the end of the day, I think that this phone call, he was saying what he believed.
See, they think this is a stronger case than the Stormy Daniels case here.
I don't think this is very strong.
I don't think either one were any good. Then you get to the documents, classified documents. Everybody seems to have these things. How are you going to prosecute anybody on that without going after Biden, without going after Pence, without going after Obama, without going after George W.? I mean, everybody's got them. We might have some, Christine, if they come search my closet. I don't know.
I find this very dividing that Democrats continue to go after former President Trump and that they just want to get him in this handcuff picture, perp walk picture. But I also kind of appreciate how now Donald Trump is trying to embrace this, it looks like, and daring them to do it so that he can use it as campaign material.
Well, the thing is, the other strategy that we haven't talked about yet today, although we've discussed it before, is that Democrats seem to be manipulating the primary for Republicans. They think they can do this, manipulate Donald Trump into being the nominee because they think he is the candidate they can beat. You know, they've already just destroyed Trump as much as they can. They beat him up for all these years, and they don't want that to go to waste by having to try to transfer that to somebody else, which I think they would try to do. They would try to make DeSantis, they try to Trumpize him. You know, they're going to use Trump no matter who runs on the Republican side, I think, but they think the easiest person to Trumpize is Trump because they've spent 5 years doing it, and they think they've done so much damage to him that they can beat him. Now, the question is, can they really manipulate this? Because I think the Republicans still have some sorting out to do between DeSantis, Trump, or whoever else may pop up in the next year or so. So I don't think they're going to be able to manipulate this. I think Republicans are not going to just be the cattle that they think we are and that they can control all this.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.